Hi, my name is Amber Aga. I'm a Reiki master and a shamanic practitioner. And these podcasts are a way to reach out and share some of what I've discovered along the way in my own healing journey and also with those that I have assisted in some way. So today's podcast comes at quite a powerful time. There's a solar eclipse today and it's a new moon. And it's very much a time of letting go of the old and also being very clear about what we want to bring into our lives. There's a really beautiful polarity and duality in terms of what's going on at the moment with the sun and the moon, the masculine and the feminine. And it's brought up for a lot of people, myself included, what it's like when we're in that space of the dark moon, when we're in that space of going into our cave, or what the wonderful writer Caroline Mace calls the dark night of the soul. I wish I could put it so beautifully, but for me, in times in my life, it's been more like a pit. And so Caroline may call it the dark night of the soul and put it so eloquently, but for me, it's the pit of our rebirth, in a sense. It's a space that we go to that's almost a death space. It can feel like a death or a burial. And I just wanted to look at that today because I know it's come up quite a lot for people recently. You know, we're in a time where a lot is shifting and we're being asked to let go of a lot. And sometimes that involves a real period of grieving and a death of a dream, of an idea, of a relationship, of something in us. And we're often fearful of going into that space, of going into the place of death, because we feel somehow that that we'll never come out of it. We feel somehow that if we're in that space of this pit, this grave, this cave, that we've lost our minds, we've lost our sanity, and we must do everything we can to never go to this place. We must keep ourselves distracted. We must stay fluffy and light and bright and always look on the positive side, and sometimes send out these kind of these platitudes, these phrases that can often be empty, love and light, all is well, we are held, we are loved, and all is well, and there is love and light, and we are loved and we are held. But part of that whole journey is also being able to go into those places of discomfort and to allow oneself to die so we can be reborn. You know, nature doesn't continually keep on growing and growing and growing and growing, because there would be no chance for the beauty and the cycles of life to have their full exploration. We have spring and summer, but we also have autumn and winter. We have times in nature where nothing happens, nothing grows, everything incubates. We have times in nature where everything starts to die, the leaves fall off the trees. There's a grieving, a loss, a slowing down. We have times where life starts its first hesitant steps, spring starts, flowers start to gently poke their head out the ground, and we have time where life blooms. And we have similar cycles of life in our lives, and if we're always chasing the time of bloom or the time of spring, then we're not really in tune with the cycles of existence, which is that we die to be reborn, and we may die to be reborn many times in a lifetime. We may have to go through those initiations many times in a lifetime in order to truly come to know and understand ourselves, and most importantly, to truly be in our power. And that's what I think this pit of rebirth is actually about. It's about completely coming to own, recognize, and embody our power. I believe when we're entering this dark pit of our inner world, we're entering a magical, but also at times a painful space of being. We're entering the deepest parts of our inner selves. And here in this pit, here in the deepest parts of ourselves, lies all that we have shunned, all that we have put away and said we would look at another time. Here lies all the times we have said that we were okay when we were not. Here lies all the times we did not cry out or shout out at our pains or losses, hoping that they would just miraculously go away. Here lies all the dreams we felt were never realized, or all the times we felt we had failed ourselves or others. Here lies all that we are still to know and therefore still to heal to truly come into our power. So here also lies our greatest untapped power, because when we're facing these aspects of ourselves, we're coming home to own all parts of ourselves. We cannot come into our power when we're censoring who we truly are. And our shadows, our deepest, darkest parts of ourselves, are just as valid as the parts that stand in the light. The sun and the moon are in harmony. Day turns to night and back into day and then to night. And so we travel between these worlds in our own inner worlds as well. Empowerment for me means that we are in our God, Goddess, given glory aspect of self. It means we're in a space of being able to love unconditionally. It means that we're fully aligned with all we are and all we came here to be. Now, it would be nice, perhaps, to think that to be truly empowered, this would come from a space of just floating above the messiness of life, or strong emotions, or quite ugly emotions. That we could just come to this place from being all love and light. But we're human beings having a spiritual journey, in a sense. That doesn't mean that we are disconnected from spirit, because ultimately all we are is spirit. But we're also human beings rediscovering that we're spirit. I think it's completely true, and everyone knows this, that famous saying, we are spirit having a physical experience, and we are. But therefore, there is a part of us that needs to acknowledge the human being in us that is rediscovering the spirit in us. And part of that is rediscovering the messiness of life and finding out that that too is part of the spirit of life, and it is part of our spirit. It means that we are able to dance between those human aspects that can feel less palatable than the love and light, emotions like rage or revenge. And we don't ignore one just so we can accept the other. We don't ask the moon to stop shining because we prefer sunlight. We learn to navigate between the both, and therefore to see the inherent wisdom in both, and therefore the power in both. And there is power in our shadow. Shamanically, when you journey, there are three worlds that you can visit: the lower world, the upper world, and the middle world. The middle world is the world that we're in now, and it's where we walk with spirits. So it's very rare that you will do a middle world journey. A middle world journey is if you're seeking to find something in the middle world, traditionally someone who's been lost, or something that's been lost, or you wish to track something in the middle world, you would do it in a journey, and it would be a middle world journey. But most of the time when we journey to the upper world or the lower world. The lower world is the place of our ancestors. It's the place of all that has been passed down to us. It's the place of knowledge. It's the place of the family, the wounds, the child that seeks healing. It's the place of our shadows. It's also the place of our greatest power. We'll often meet our power animals down there. It's our place of true healing. If anyone knows anything about shamanic journeys, you know that you can often go to the lower world and have a dismemberment and a rememberment. So it's a place of true, incredibly powerful healing. It can also be a place of incubation. It's a place that's undiscovered often. We haven't tapped into it. And so there's so many riches in there. The upper world takes us to those heights of elevation and communion with divine beings. And obviously those of you who do journey, and you might have heard me say this before, is that if you journey for long enough, you find that both worlds are really the same, and you could journey to the lower world and find you end up in the upper world, or vice versa. And ultimately, when we keep journeying, we find that when we journey, we go into what is the void, that space of nothingness and everything. But in theory, these are the worlds, and I want to look at the lower world in a sense, and I want to look at our lower world, which is our place of incubation, our place of the wounds, of the place of healing, the place of the family and the ancestors, that's been passed down to us. Because we house these worlds in us, and we travel to them when we start to find our inner roadmap for our inner world, because our external world is simply a reflection of the inner. So for me, it's really important that we go to this pit, because this pit, this lower world, holds the key to who we are and what we need to heal. And it will also be the place of the rebirth. It is the burial chamber. It is where we go to be rebirthed. It's sometimes the place we will take our battered self to heal, to die and to be reborn. It is the womb. It's the divine mother in us who sees our scars from the playground of life and allows them to bleed until they start to heal of their own accord. It is the place of release And until we release, we cannot make space for the new. It's the place where we go to grieve. So it's worth asking, what do you need to grieve? What has remained ungrieved in your life? And what is it that you say you will look at later? And when will that later be? Because now is the time to look at that that we have not grieved, that that we have not let go of, because it is that which will be standing in the way of manifesting the life that we wish to lead. Personally, I've been to the pit many times, and sometimes so deep I thought that I would never come back out, to heal childhood wounds, to allow them to bleed dry until they start to heal themselves. And in a sense, with wounds, what we know is that they never go away, they simply start to heal until we're left with a scar. And the scar is such that when we touch it, we no longer feel pain, but we know that it's there. And every now and then we may look at these scars and we see them as signs of a life lived, as lessons lived. And what a life that will have been for us, for all of us. There's much that I've been to the pit to mourn, that I've yearned for, that may not have manifested in my life. And at times it has felt like I was losing my mind. And I was losing a part of my mind. And it was the part of my mind that was locked into a dream, that was locked into believing that life had to be a certain way. I was losing the longing, the dream, the attachment that was standing in the way of the happening. And there was always more that we can lose. There was always more of that losing that we can go through until we start to regather. We unravel until we regather. We die until we're reborn. And it is part of the cycle of life. And if we start to resist that, we are resisting the cycle of life and we are resisting flow in our life. Grief is important. Whichever way it may manifest in our lives, it is important that we have these dark nights, that we have these times of the pit, of the burial chamber, because we will come out reborn, stronger and more aware of who we are, and having let go of what needed to die in our lives, of the weeds in our lives that needed to die. The dismemberment of parts of ourselves to be remembered is so vital. Life is, for me, a constant cycle of longing, of penetration, of growth, of life, of death, and of rebirth. And we go through these phases constantly. And when we start to recognize these phases, we start to own the cycle. And then we see when is the time to rest, when is the time to grieve, when is the time to go out in the world, and when is the time to be reborn. I believe the pit, the burial chamber, is where we are reborn from. We lay our weary selves to rest and we say, what is no longer working in my life? This is what I must leave behind from my life in order for me to be reborn. This is what I give to the earth, to the elements, to be recycled, and this is what I shall be born from. And as we shed the pasts we have carried in us, we feed the burial chamber. We feed our pit with the fuel we shall need for our rebirth, for it shall feed us, and always does. And people often ask, how long is this going to take? How long am I going to spend here? In fact, I've asked that myself. How long is this going to take? It takes as long as it takes. Who knows? It takes as long as it takes for you to go through the grieving process and let go of what you need to let go of. With the help of Mother, Father, God, with the help of Spirit, with the help of prayer, with the help of ritual, all these other aspects that I've talked about in previous podcasts of how we can bring ritual into our lives, how we can infuse our lives with prayer. And if you've missed any of those podcasts, it's worth maybe just having a listen, because they will serve, these tools, which is what they are, will serve us well when we go into this space of grief, of letting go. And then I often get asked, how do we not get lost here? And it's sometimes been a real fear for me. How do I not get lost here? What if I never come out? And I think part of going in is that we face the reality that maybe we may never come out. It's important that we face that. And how does that make us feel? Do we want to come out? Because if we do, then we shall. I believe we come out by being aware of what it is that we're going through, of the process that we're going through. You know, often how people have these cycles in life and they get labelled something. It gets labelled depression or we tell ourselves to snap out of it. You know, and in a sense, depression is when We have suppressed our emotions for so long that we become deadened to so much. So actually, if a depressed person starts to cry and starts to go through the grieving process, it's a thawing of that frozenness they might sometimes feel that they're in. And sometimes coming out of depression will involve that. And it brings up this fear of, I thought I would feel better, and actually all I'm doing is crying all the time. All I'm doing is releasing. But actually, that's the whole point. You're releasing that's been stuck for so long. Sometimes that happens through tears, sometimes through anger, sometimes through a kind of sickness that might manifest in the body. It can happen in so many ways. I think if we're aware that this is a process that we're going through, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we have our rituals, we have our tools that help us connect, that help us pray, that help us go out into nature and leave offerings and connect, then we have the awareness that we need to know that we shall come out. We also know this is our special time of surrender and release. This is our time of dying, to truly let go. And we need to allow ourselves that space to truly let go so that we can return to the dawning sun and start anew with a deeper knowing of self, which is what this is all about. I believe this pit then is our greatest space of learning and empowerment. And if we fear to go there because it's going to be messy or it's dark, then we live a half existence. Every plant digs deep into the earth with its roots for grounding, for strength, for the ability to stand tall under the elements and soak in the light, the water, the air, the sustenance, and so we must. We dig down deeper into who we are every time we go into this pit, into this burial chamber. We dig down deeper into our power every time we go into that space, so we can truly soak up all that life has to offer when we come out the other side. Our grieving and our death in the pit is far from the end. It's simply the end of a cycle. It's an end of a way of existing that may not have served us, and it's important to remember that. Because when we end one way of existence, we herald the start of a new way of being. We allow space for the new to come in. And anything can bring us out of this space. A shaft of sunlight, a friendship, a song, the desire to leave. Anything can bring us out, should we wish to come out. Should we truly allow ourselves to let go. And should we also know that we are held in the loving arms of spirit, that we are safe, and that we're going through this process, but it is held with love. We are watched over with love. It is part of the process of life. If plants can do it, we can do it. If animals can do it and go into hibernation, we can do it. We've lost our connection to the elements, to the seasons, 24-hour lights and entertainment and food and, you know, if you live out in nature, when the sun sets and you just have candlelight, perhaps, or firelight, everything starts to slow down in you anyway. If I spend time out in nature for a long space of time, if I'm out in the woods, I find that I want to sleep when the sun sets and I want to wake up when the sun rises. And we get in touch with the planets, with our cycles of life, with the elements. When we lose that connection, then we start to lose that ability to go into the darkness. And it's important that we go into the darkness so we can appreciate the light and all it has to offer us. And right now is a time of very much being able to embrace going into the darkness. We're born, we're reborn in the darkness. In shamanic initiations, you'll often have a burial, and burial is an initiation. It's a death to be reborn. And in that grave, you face all your fears. The time in there can feel like an eternity. And there's certainly nothing in there to distract you. I mean, you might get distracted by being bitten or the cold, maybe, but there's nothing really. There's no one to blame. There's no one to distract you. You just have yourself and your fears and all your thoughts, your dreams, your pains, your strengths, your wishes, your hopes, your prayers. That's all you have to get you through that burial, to get you through that, what can sometimes feel like a really long night. And when we come out, when we feel the morning's rays of sunlight, when we see those first rays of sunlight, when we hear birdsong, we finally know that the dark night is over and the morning is here, we feel as if we've been reborn. Because we've faced our darkest fears, we've gone into the darkness, we've sat in the darkness, we've made friends with the darkness, we've come to know it in us, whatever it may be, whatever form it takes for us. And as the dawn chorus begins, we come out into the light and we are reborn. We leave behind in the grave all that does not serve us, all that we wish to leave behind, and we step into the new as if we have been born again. Rebirth in its truest sense. We can face burials like this, whether we do them physically, and that it may call to you and it's a wonderful initiation to do, but we also face burials like this metaphorically many, many times in our lives. Some people don't do these initiations, they don't get buried, they don't sit in the sweat, they don't go out on vision quests, their lives don't allow them to do that, or I know people who've never felt the need to do that, yet they will honour the periods in their lives where they go into a darkness. They will honour those periods of hibernation, they will allow themselves to be reborn and to let go, and so they're going through that anyway. You know, these initiations were created to kind of give us a kick start, but we don't get addicted to them. There are many ways that we can do this work. And it's the love that keeps us alive, keeps us hopeful when we're in that space. We realise it's that that does not die, it's that that always stays ever present. The only all that we leave behind, all that dies, is that which did not serve us. I believe that this pit, this burial chamber, rekindles our love fires that sit within us, that keep us warm, and that allow us to really breathe that last breath of all that we wish to let go of. And it's the same love that lies in us, in you, in me, in you, that is the God and the Goddess in you. And it's the God, the Goddess part of you, that shall wake you when the time has come and tell you that this is the day of your rebirth. This is the day when you can step into the new. And as you step into the new, you live with the knowledge that you gain from that long night. It's the long night. It's the burial. It's the cave. It's the pit. It's the dark night of the soul. It's all these things. It's winter. It's those long nights of winter. It's cold. It can feel empty. There is no life. Your life is dying. We go through that period and we realize life hasn't died, because what was eternal has remained, and that is love. And also your power, which is eternal. Of course it is, because authentic power is really just the God, Goddess part in you. And that's what you're rekindling. That's what you're reconnecting to. That's what you come out with. That knowledge of that God, Goddess part in you that makes you uniquely you. We're very much at the moment in a space, it's a frenzied space, it feels like. The Mayans talked about this, many cultures have talked about this time, a time of great seeking, a time of confusion, a time of false prophets, a time of a clamoring, some people call it an ascension. It's a time when so much is shifting and the masks are falling away, illusions are being revealed as being illusions, and we're being asked to stand naked in our truth. In this time of clamoring, in this time of false prophets, in this time of emulating others, trying to be something that we may not be because we feel that's what enlightenment is about. You know, there's this desire in so many I see at the moment to teach, to go out and preach, in a sense, to say I have found the way. But there is no way, there is just your way. You know, the greatest teachings lie in you. They don't lie in a workshop or a meditation or a DVD or a book that you read. That was that person's greatest teaching. And they share it because they feel it may help you. I mean, that was why teachings were initially shared. These may help you. This was my direct communication with spirit. I was asked to share this with you. I share this with you. And I do wonder how many teachings right now that are being shared have actually been specifically asked, commanded by spirit that they be shared, or whether people are sharing these teachings because they found something that has enlivened their lives and they feel it might enliven someone else's, or, you know, perhaps the cynical aspect would be to look at it as this is a time of confusion and many are able to make a bit of money out of that confusion or get some brownie points, you know. I don't know. But what will help us navigate our way through this confusion is to know that the answers lie within you. And part of the going into the pit is to find those answers. What's your teaching? What's your direct communication with Spirit? How does Spirit wish to work through you? And it won't be the same as the person next to you. It won't be the same as your friend on Facebook who's suddenly started posting something and you think, that's amazing, I wish I could do that. In fact, I'm going to do that. It won't be that. I promise you it won't. Spirit is going to ask you to do something that is unique to you. If you wish to hear it, you may not, and some do not. You may wish to follow your ego, for want of a better word. But the going into the cave, the dark night, the burial chamber, we find what our strengths are, what our power is, what our gift is, what our medicine is for the world. And then we go out and we share it because we're asked to share it. And if you're not asked to share it, if you're asked to simply live it, then live it. You might be asked to teach it. You might be asked to write about it. You might be just told to live it and to be the living example of it. All of it is valid. I really hope that in these coming times, in these times of false prophets and running around and trying to find the answers, that any of you who listen to this will make the time to go within and to find your own answers. And I share all this with you because this has been my journey and because I have been asked to share this with you and because it feels authentic to me. And I make nothing out of this. These podcasts are free. I share because it may inspire you to know that you're not alone on this path. I share because you may feel the next time that dark space starts calling to you, you're going to go to it and really face it. I share because we share to know that we're human. And it may inspire you. I hope it does. You can always visit the website on www.sacredspacehealing.org. There's some other podcasts on there on ritual and prayer and some of the tools that might be useful or may not, because you may have your own tools, and that's equally valid. So until the next time, may your time in the burial chamber of your power and rebirth be blessed, held, loved, and beautiful. For so it is. It is so.